Hey everybody, Colt here. Thanks for stopping by and checking out our podcast. If you like what you hear and you want to hear more, be sure to check out our website, draftdive.com, or follow us on Twitter, @draftdive and @_ColtWilliams. Now, enjoy the episode.
Back, everybody. It's another edition of the Draft Dive Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Jonah, joined as always by my co-host Colt. Colt, how's it going?
Everything's going well. I mean, two of my leagues, I got the first round bye, so I'm pretty excited about that, but not everybody's there. I know what happens to me. I have some kind of, I don't know, curse on me or misfortune, but every year I get into the first round bye, and it's just like my team goes nuclear. And it just, all those points are wasted, if you will. That's always a bummer, but you know, you win regardless, so I'll take it with a grain of salt. But yeah, I'm excited. We got some good matchups this week. We got two over 50 point over unders projected as of right now. So the Cowboys at the Bills and Commanders at the Rams. How do you have those games being scored, Jonah? I'm curious.
Gosh, well, I don't know. I've been a little off lately. I mean, I guess I should be a believer in Dallas. I'll take Dallas over Buffalo.
Same.
And then it was the Commanders and the Rams. I've got the Rams.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm leaning as well. Cowboys just been too hot, I feel like, to kind of, you know, pick against them, even on the road. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm with you in that case. Speaking about that Commanders Rams game, let's kick it off with our starts and sits. Shall we? I'm gonna kick it off here with Matthew Stafford versus the Commanders. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, just been absolutely on fire the past 3 weeks. That includes against some elite defenses, the Ravens, the Browns, even though they've been a little hobbled, and not quite what they were at the beginning of the season, but now he gets a matchup as favorable as it gets. I think he's a top six quarterback lock this week for me. I think the only quarterbacks that I'm taking above them this week, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, and Brock Purdy. Notice I didn't say Patrick Mahomes against New England. I think their defense is too good, both Kansas City's and New England's. I think there's just not going to be enough points there for him. Like I said, Stafford, it's just been too hot. Now he gets the Commanders. Count me in.
Yeah, Stafford, very hot against the two best pass defenses in football. So if you're not riding him against Washington, you're crazy. I was a little crazy. I benched him for both games. Bad idea. Still, you know, it worked out fantasy-wise, but I left points on the bench because I said, gosh, these are killer matchups, but yeah. Matt Stafford doesn't care.
He does not care. Yeah, I mean, he's completely flip-flopped from what he did early in the season. It was a ton of yardage, no touchdowns. We knew the touchdowns should have been there with how many pass attempts and you know, how many yards he was throwing for, but they're all coming now. And like I said, Commanders, I think, is a surefire pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going with Russell Wilson. He's got the matchup with Detroit's defense. And so, you know, I thought, again, with just so many quarterback injuries, guys are looking maybe a little deeper for starts, even in the playoffs. We're looking probably, you know, semi-deep on the roster, maybe even on the waiver wire. So I really like Russell Wilson against Detroit this week. Detroit allows their quarterbacks to run, and Russ isn't what he used to be. But I bet he's good for 30 to 40 yards rushing at least, as well as a couple of touchdown throws.
Yeah, Detroit, you know, bottom four against quarterbacks so far on the season, averaging over 20 points over the past 4 weeks. Yeah, Russell Wilson should definitely be in play, especially with how many quarterbacks are injured or banged up. I think he's definitely a surefire lock. They're not quite as good as like the Eagles or Commanders to target, but they're right up there. Yeah. They're neck and neck. They're competing for that bottom spot, if you will. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, it's a heck of an offense and not much of a defense.
Yeah, the defense is just, it's been different. The way that they want to play ball is, you know, they want to run it, And man, Goff hasn't looked himself quite just yet, but yeah, it's been a rough couple weeks. But nevertheless, let's go on. We'll go on to the running backs. I've got Najee Harris at the Colts. The Colts, they've just been bleeding points to the running back position. They're giving up 31 points per game over the past 4 weeks to opposing running backs. That could, you know, bleed a little bit into Jalen Warren's role. You know, I think he's certainly a fine start. I think Najee Harris, I have him obviously as the primary back. He's not as explosive as he once was. Maybe ever was, maybe as Jalen Warren, but Najee Harris, I think, should have a fine day versus the Colts. So that probably like a mid running back too.
Yeah, no, it's another good matchup for Najee, which is good. I mean, he's definitely, I don't know if he's recovered from his rough start, but he's definitely playing a lot better. He's not playing the draft position, but at least he's a guy that, you know, you don't feel terrible about starting now, and especially in a matchup against a weak run defense like Indianapolis. Yeah, he'll eat, and he'll look pretty good, and, you know, his backfield mate will get a few carries as well, but Najee should look pretty solid.
Yeah, he gets those goal line carries, so hopefully, like I said, he'll be the one that falls in.
Yeah, definitely. So I was going with kind of Detroit's backfield. Now, Jahmyr Gibbs is probably a no-brainer, so we'll spend a little more time on David Montgomery. Might have been a little worried about him because of Gibbs' emergence, but against the Broncos, there's going to be plenty of yardage and plenty of touchdowns to go around. Denver, worst team against the run. Gotten a lot better against the pass. Still the worst team against the run, though.
Yeah, I think David Montgomery is kind of a lock for me. I've got him in one league where I need to win and get in. I was looking at kind of just his scores. He doesn't get a lot of receiving work, obviously, with Jahmyr Gibbs there. He's a elite pass catcher, you know, out of the backfield, playing out wide in the slot, wherever he wants to. He can get it done. But Montgomery, I mean, 4 touchdowns in 5 weeks. We'll take that for sure. I think this would be another opportunity for him to have another big day. Mm-hmm. On to wide receivers. I've got Tyler Lockett versus the Eagles. We were talking about the Commanders and the Eagles as somebody who kind of give it up to the quarterback. Well, usually that's going to be coming through the air. And Eagles are they're 32nd ranked against the opposing wide receivers. That's absolutely dead last. Tyler Lockett last week, he kind of drew the short straw. He got the 49ers, which in the past they've been pretty bad against wide receivers. They've gotten a little bit better since they come out of the bye, but even so, with his new quarterback, Drew Lock, I think it's going to be Drew Lock here again. It's leaning that way. That's what it kind of looks like right now. I would expect Tyler Lockett, who led the team in yardage and caught everything that was thrown his way in the Drew Lock, you know, small sample size. I think he has a pretty decent day here against the Eagles. I feel like DK Metcalf's already a lock in your lineup after that explosive game. But Lockett, I think you can throw in there. It's just a fine start as well.
Yeah, I mean, you want to pick on Philadelphia's secondary. Both in fantasy and in real life football.
Yeah.
So that's what Seattle will probably do. You know, Locke always had the abilities. You know, I think he just needed to work on his reads and things like that. And he probably still needs to work on that, but he didn't look half bad, and guy has an absolute cannon, so he can get it downfield. No problem.
Yeah, certainly. He's got nothing to lose either. I like watching him sling it.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun to watch gunslingers. Well, I'm going with a guy who is somehow kind of a sleeper this week, even though he's the best wide receiver in football. So, how about Justin Jefferson? You know, he's got Cincinnati. You can throw against Cincinnati. We've seen that. They're not the Eagles, but you can throw against them. And I have faith in Nick Mullins. And, well, I guess, sorry, this is if Justin Jefferson is healthy, because he is questionable. But if he's healthy, I think he's a big-time start. If he's not, then I'll go with Garrett Wilson as my start of the week. But I don't know. We've gotten to this point where Justin Jefferson is questionable in your lineup. That seems odd to me.
Yeah, I mean, the things that I would do to myself if I found out that I benched Justin Jefferson for just about anybody else, if he was game, you know, if he was a game time decision, he ended up playing. Yeah, it's I would feel horrible if I had Justin Jefferson on my bench and, you know, I ended up in the fantasy playoffs and I lost in the first round just because I had him there. So you definitely want to start him, whether he's banged up, whether it's Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins is an upgrade from Josh Dobbs, from what, at least from what he's been putting out is a, from a quarterback perspective. Nick Mullins, we've seen him get it done. It was a while ago, back on the 49ers, but he looked good. He looked competent then. You know, you had a lot of weapons around him. Justin Jefferson is a weapon. Jordan Addison's a weapon. TJ Hockenson. So he's got tons of weapons there. I think he can get the same thing done. So Justin Jefferson definitely locked in there. As far as Garrett Wilson goes, I love that pick as well. I mean, just came off a game with 14 targets. Another 100-yard game, you know, on the season. It's Miami. We know Miami's going to put up points, whether Tyreek Hill's out there or not. Yeah, I think Garrett Wilson's certainly a surefire play as well.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because he's questionable or not, but you talked about Tyler Lockett. I just pulled up some fantasy rankings. They're ranked right next to each other, 28 and 29. So more people are thinking about leaving him on the bench than you might think.
Oh, with
Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson. Oh, wow, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's not like the matchup is horrible either. That's the part.
No, it's a pretty solid matchup. It's not the best, but yeah, it's definitely solid.
I would say it's neutral. Yeah, so maybe people are just afraid of Nick Mullins and the injury. What do you happen to know when that game is played? Is that any of the primetime games or?
It's a Saturday game.
Oh, it's Saturday game. So yeah, you would definitely be able to know if he's in there or not, and you can audible out. So yeah. I'm not sweating it too much. If he goes, I'm going with him. I'll go down with the Justin Jefferson ship. If so, another ship I'd probably be going down with. I'm not sure how this plays out, but he's on the field all the time. Cade Otton at the Packers. The Packers, they are the fourth worst over the past month against tight ends. He's always on the field. Last week, he had a game-winning touchdown. They drew up a play for him. He was their guy. Yeah, I think Cade Otton, you know, could have another week here. If it's gonna happen, just as whole final schedule, when I was looking at it, it was like 25th ranked, 26th ranked, 31st ranked against the tight end, like multiple good tight end opportunities here for him at the end of the season. Not saying he's a league winner, but he has favorable matchups from here to the end of the season.
Yeah, no, Auden's definitely got the talent. With all due respect to Baker Mayfield, he could probably use an upgrade at quarterback production. But no, Auden's good play. I mean, we saw what happened last time. What did he go off for 3 touchdowns last time you recommended him? So,
yeah, he's been pretty good in certain starts. He's not a guy you want to start every week by any means, but if it was for the amount of routes he runs, then yeah, he would be an all-time player, I think.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Isaiah Likely. Talking about defenses that are nice to tight ends, the Jaguars is. They're 28th against tight ends. And so I think the Baltimore replacement tight end, you know, ultra-athletic Isaiah Likely has another really good week in him.
Yeah, no, I loved his tape coming out of Coastal Carolina. And yeah, I mean, this was his kind of, last week was his kind of breakout game. He showed that he can get it done. 5 for 83 and a touchdown. Yeah, he's a guy who's, they're going to be able to use, you know, Jacksonville. They've been kind of coming on hot. They're going to put up some points, whether, you know, Trevor Lawrence is healthy or not. Still going to put up points out there. So I love the Isaiah Likely pick. And, you know, ironically enough, he's likely somebody you picked up on waivers. So like I said, I give you the confidence to start him. I'd start him over Cade Otton. I like that pick a lot, especially in this Jacksonville matchup. So yeah.
Yeah.
On to defense, I've got the Falcons at the Panthers. This one's kind of a no-brainer, I feel like. The Panthers, they're scoring 15 points a game. I mean, that's, you know, I'm kind of shocked that it's that many, to be honest, but here we are. It's higher than I expected, if I'm being honest. But, yeah, I mean, they just look lost. You know, Bryce Young, it's been a miserable rookie season, unfortunately. I told you to fire up the Falcons defense, who, like I said, aren't great, but they played the Jets 2 weeks ago, ended up being the number one defense on the week. I think this is another week where they have a great shot to run it back to be the number one defense overall.
Yeah, it's a very safe play for, I mean, probably, of course, depending on your league scoring, but let's say standard 8 to 10 points. which is, you know, I'm saying that's the safe. That's kind of your floor for this game, it feels like. So you got to feel real good about Atlanta. I mean, I love Bryce Young. I think he's super talented. They obviously need some more pieces around him, and hopefully Carolina gets that figured out for him.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I still think he's super talented as well. I think this is kind of just like a lost season. Pretty unfortunate, but yeah, hopefully they get some weapons around him.
Yeah. Let's see. I was going to go with Atlanta too, but I can go with... Sorry.
No worries. I think we would both agree that like the Saints have a pretty good matchup.
Playing the Giants. Yeah. You know, it should be a good matchup for a good defense, though Tommy DeVito does seem to be coming on. Oh, here it is. Well, a bad defense against what I assume is a worst offense, and that's the Las Vegas Raiders taking on the Chargers. I'm an Easton Stick hater as well.
Oh.
And so I will bet against an Easton Stick led offense.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you there. Guy's been in the league 4 or 5 years, and it's been thrown 25 passes. So to give you his experience, 24 of them came out of, you know, half of the game last week. So yeah, I don't blame you at all. It was kind of exciting in a half of football. He threw for basically 180 yards, but I watched his, because I was contemplating starting him in a league. It's a deep league. It's two quarterbacks, so that's where we're at. But I ended up finding Nick Mullins. So I'm rolling out Nick Mullins, surprisingly enough. Not, like I said, not excited about that, but that's where we are at this point of the season. But yeah, I'm excited for Easton Stick. I'm not sure how he does, but you know, he's a wild card. And I think the Raiders defense is, I would say middle of the pack. They've definitely picked it up recently, but the Chargers offense.
They're probably better than they should be. I mean, they do have Crosby, which is always just going to be a huge help.
Yeah, and I don't know who, somebody, it was like Easton Stick's first play, blew him up. And it was a fumble. I think it ended up being an incomplete pass, but it almost was basically a fumble for a scoop and score. And it is one of his very first plays in there. So Crosby's going to have a field day. I'd take the over on any kind of sacks that he's going to take here this week. So yeah, I like that a lot. On to the sits. I've got a guy here. This one I feel like is pretty cut and dry. We've mentioned it a few times. He only had two good matchups in the last 2 weeks. Now it's nothing but bad matchups. Talk about Tua. He's playing the Jets. The Jets, they're the third worst matchups for quarterbacks. We saw him play in week 12. And kind of surprisingly, maybe shockingly, the wide receivers had a good day. I mean, Tyreek Hill, he's kind of matchup proof. But even Jalen Waddle had a good day. And that didn't translate to Tua. I mean, he still had a very poor day against the Jets. It's just kind of what they do. They shut you down. That's what they do. He had 240 yards. That's pretty good, but only one touchdown and two picks. I think he had a pair of fumbles, maybe? No, he had one fumble that he had lost. But, yeah, it's not a good matchup. You're going to add in that Tyreek Hill is kind of hobbled, maybe even misses the game. It doesn't give me a lot of confidence in Tua, which is a guy who probably got you to this point into the playoffs. There's a lot of other quarterbacks that take over him this week.
Yeah, no, it's a rough matchup for him this week. You know, the Jets are the third best fantasy defense. And then I looked up the scoring. Tua, he had 10 points last time against the Jets. So, yeah, that's kind of maybe a little, but without Tyreek, I mean, how confident are you in that he's going to, you know, put up 16 points even? So, it seems crazy. He's got to be one of the best, if not the best, fantasy quarterbacks on the year, but it's a really tough matchup for him.
Yeah, horrible matchup. I think they win the game kind of handedly, but I don't think it comes from Tua.
You never know. Zach Wilson's back. And I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence as my sit of the week. He's got the Ravens defense this week. He's not healthy, and I mean, that's a really bad combo going against an elite defense when you're not 100%. So even though Jacksonville has looked pretty good this, you know, even recently, I don't think Lawrence has it this game.
Yeah, I mean, he threw for 50 pass attempts last game. That's an incredible amount. He didn't do that anytime this year, anytime last year. He hasn't done that since his rookie season. So, yeah, it's not something you really... I mean, you want him doing that for the most part. I mean, it's Trevor Lawrence. He, you know, great quarterback. But three interceptions last week, three touchdowns, that's kind of nice. But, yeah, Baltimore... You know, we weren't a big fans of Matthew Stafford. I don't remember if he was my sit of the week or not. But, you know, nevertheless, it was a very bad matchup. I'm pretty sure he was my sit of the week. Ended up having a decent day. Baltimore, you know, they're playing at home here. Or rather, they're playing in Jacksonville. I'm not excited for Trevor Lawrence at all. He's just not mobile. Yeah, I'm totally on board with benching him. If you had to pick one of the two, pick your poison. Picking Tua versus the Jets or Trevor Lawrence versus Baltimore? I said, ooh, both bad options. We're both not recommending either one. But which one would you kind of lean on?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I would probably go Tua myself.
Yeah, I think so too.
Just out of Tua faith and his health.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we saw it a ton of times last year. You know, just a slant to Waddle can go the distance if Tyreek could play. Right, and then it just makes one play from him to kind of save the day, fantasy wise. So, yeah, I think I would lean that way as well. Some people are in that predicament, so I'm glad we can help them out with that. My running back set of the week. This one may come as a surprise, maybe, but I'm going Antonio Gibson, the guy we kind of mentioned, you know, on the waiver article here this week, and you know the week before, but he was going into a bye. He plays the Rams. And like I said, it's Wednesday night. We're recording this. I'm assuming Brian Robinson doesn't suit up. He didn't practice here this week. And that means an uptick in work for Gibson. So that also means an uptick in work for rookie running back Chris Rodriguez. Gibson, over the last 2 weeks with Brian Robinson kind of hobbled, 16 carries. Rodriguez had 11. So it's not like it was, you know, 16 to 4 or anything like that. It was almost split, even. There, Gibson, absolutely no doubt, will have the receiving work. Rodriguez does not profile as that type of running back, but he's going to get some carries. I think he's going to get some enough carries there to kind of muddy up the water. I don't think that the Commanders win this. I think they could have some plays, certainly, but I think that the Rams win this. They're playing at home, big over-under, so there will be points to be scored. If it's a PPR league, I think Antonio Gibson gives you a little bit more of a play because... he could be used that way. I think they're going to be down. But it's also against the Rams defense. So not only would we be splitting time, the Rams defense, they just shut down the Ravens running attack, and they've been fourth best over the last month against running backs. So yeah, Antonio Gibson, you might be in a pinch. If you have him, you probably have to start him. But I'm not excited for him.
Yeah, you know. Let's see. I mean, Washington does like to obviously split their carries, apparently, no matter who's in there. So that's always going to be an issue. You know, I did think in a high-scoring game like their matchup this weekend looks to be, that he could have a lot of work in the passing game and might be able to really make up some ground there from catching so many passes.
Yeah, I think he would need to. I think that's what's going to need. He's going to need that. And he has two touchdowns on the season. We're going into week 15. Not like he's been, you know, null and void. He's been in almost every single game. I think he's only missed one game, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, it's not 4.2 a carry. We'll take that. Rodriguez has showed he's basically 5 a carry. I mean, a little more explosive on the plays that I've seen him. And then the stats just kind of back it up with that. But... like I said, if you're in a pinch, you might have to start him. Definitely more excited about him in a PPR league, as you're saying, with the pass attack, because they kind of spread it around. Even Brian Robinson was getting targets, but
yeah,
not super excited.
No, it's not the best fantasy running back you can trot out for playoffs, but yeah. And then my sit of the week, Kenneth Walker III.
Oh yeah.
So he's just got another brutal matchup. Just went up against San Francisco's defense. Didn't do really anything. 21 yards. and now has the Eagles and their running back defense. You know, maybe it seems weird because we talk about all the points that are going to be scored, but we do say, yeah, it's through the air. You throw on the Eagles, you don't run on them. And yeah, it just looks like another really brutal matchup that could be another, you know, 20 to 30 yard game for Walker.
Yeah, no, I love that pick there. The last two games Walker's played, well, I think one he was injured, so I'm not going to count that one. But just the last game, I mean, he basically split the workload there with Zach Charbonnet yet again. I think Charbonnet might have actually out-carried him. 9 carries, 8 carries. Yeah, so out-carried him, out-produced him, and yards per carry point there. Saved himself a little bit. The one game sample size with Drew Lock, he had 5 targets. So that's pretty nice. So we'll take that. I think that's how they're going to have to play it. I mean, he just went up against San Francisco. Now he gets a really good run defense in the Eagles. Yeah, I'm not excited for Kenneth Walker. And another guy who, you know, started off the season so hot, certainly the first half of the season, and then just got injured. Zach Charbonnet started to take a little bit of his workload here and there. Yeah, not excited for him in this matchup. It's, not excited at all. On wide receivers, another guy who kind of got you here, Adam Thielen. Thielen plays the Falcons. He finally had kind of a big game, first big game in 3 weeks, 5 for 74, no touchdown, which no touchdown seems to be a theme. I mean, Bryce Young is just simply not throwing touchdowns. It's unfortunate to see. He doesn't really have the weapons either. I mean, a 33-year-old Adam Thielen passes prime. You can't expect him to carry the whole workload. He's also missing some wide receivers on big plays, but that's neither here nor there. Adam Thielen, let's go on to the Falcons just real quick. Like, they're sneaky against the wide receiver. They're top 4 against wide receivers over the past month. Yeah, I'm not trusting Adam Thielen. I love him as a player. Like I said, we've talked about him before, undrafted free agent, one of the best wide receivers of all time who is undrafted. But when the stakes are as high as they get in the playoffs, I don't think I could trust him, maybe even as like a flex option or anything like that. He just really scares me when the stakes are so high.
Yeah, Atlanta's defense is better than they seem. We expect it to be a low-scoring game. You know, as you kind of said, you don't expect him to score a touchdown. So that's definitely going to limit his fantasy effectiveness. Do you think he can catch enough balls for enough yards that he can make up for not scoring? Maybe, but it's definitely a gamble.
Yeah. Yeah. Gambling. I mean, if you want to gamble in the fantasy playoffs, you can. You certainly can. I mean, I would look at somebody who's been horrible, Chris Godwin. I would look that way or something. Just, I'm not excited about Adam Thielen. It's unfortunate. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a guy. We talked about the game. It's going up against the best fantasy defense against wide receivers, and that's Jalen Waddle for Miami. Now, you're probably starting Waddle, and I get it. I guess it's a temper expectations and maybe move him down, you know, a few slots from where you would normally have Jalen Waddle, because the Jets defense is just brutal for wide receivers.
Yeah, Waddle, I mean, another guy that kind of got you here. I'm benching Waddle this week for Cortland Sutton in one of my leagues. I'm not excited about it, but Cortland Sutton just continues and continues to catch touchdowns. Still only 3 games this year without a touchdown. So, while, I mean, here are his receptions over the past 4 games. 3, 2, 3, 4. If you told me somebody was getting that, I'd be not pleased. But, I mean, it's coming at an average of about 65 yards. He's also, like I said, getting a touchdown basically every single game. A nice matchup against Detroit. Meanwhile, Waddle seems to maybe be the only guy in town if Tyreek were to miss, but I feel like that almost puts a target on his back. I like Tyreek Hill being out there while Waddle's out there. It's unfortunate that Tyreek can end a play, you know, end a drive in one single play because he could just take it to the house, but it also, you know, takes the strongest coverage, the double coverage off of himself. So Yeah, no,
yeah,
Waddle.
You got to pay attention to him when he's out there. It's kind of a Randy Moss, Wes Welker situation.
That is a good comp right there. Yes. Oh, I love that one. Yeah, no, that's a good one. Yeah, Jalen Waddle, like I said, you're probably playing him. Just know that not a great matchup. You want Tyreek to be healthy if you're playing Waddle. I'll put it that way as well. On to tight ends. I'm gonna go. You're just talking about Randy Moss, Wes Welker. Let's stay on that same team. Hunter Henry versus the Chiefs, Patriots tight end. He had a breakout birthday game last Thursday. If you think it's because of the QB change, I know you kind of lean in that camp a little bit because Bailey Zappi's your boy. But you might be semi right. I think so. But you know, he only got three targets. And when I was looking at his first read targets, kind of where he was the first read on an individual play, he had two, which was the same number as Ty Montgomery, which, surprisingly, he's still on the team. But that's not what you want to hear. Like, there's not plays that are drawn up for him that way. He did get an end zone look in one. But it wasn't an uptick in work with Mac Jones, or with Bailey Zappi compared to Mac Jones. If he'd got like, you know, 6, 7, 8 targets, 10 targets, something like that, well, especially while there's no real wide receiver competition, then I'd be way more excited. But Bailey Zappi is an upgrade over Mac Jones. I'll confess it here on this podcast.
All right.
But not only, like I said, was he not getting like any of the first read targets or anything like that, but the Chiefs, just the matchup in general, you know, the Chiefs defense, they've been great so far in the season. But they're also great against the tight end. They're top six on the season. I think that the Chiefs are going to have kind of their, I don't know if you want to call it a revenge game, but where they just, you know, they lost the game. It was stolen from them last week because of the refs and the bad offside Kadarius Toney call. I think that they're going to come out and just kind of punish the Patriots because of that, and just show that, hey, we're still here. We're not losers or anything like that, and we're not crybabies. Let's go ahead and just go on to other things and show that we're still elite.
Yeah, an angry Patrick Mahomes, you know, that's scary. It's almost as scary as an angry Tom Brady, as I'm sure you know. Angry Tom Brady couldn't be beat in anything.
Yeah.
So making kind of the next guy who looks a lot like him really angry probably isn't the best idea.
Yep.
And yeah, as you said, you know, Henry, he had a big game. It's awesome for him. Good for him, but they're not really targeting him. He just kind of, he lucked into a couple of nice receptions for a couple of nice touchdowns.
Yeah. And he made some nice plays. Like I said, I'm not taking that away from him by any means, but yeah, at the same time, it wasn't exactly the Hunter Henry show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with a guy who's been white hot lately as well, Evan Engram. He finally found the end zone, found it, what, 3 times in the past 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah.
So he's finally getting the touchdown production added to all his catches and yardage, which is great. Tough matchup, injured quarterback, you know, the Ravens D, they're 8th. Against fantasy tight ends, so they're not the best, but they're a good defense, and I just think his run to the end zone stops, which, so wherever that ranks him, still is probably a good tight end with, you know, good reception and yardage, but I don't think he finds the end zone against Baltimore.
Yeah, it's hard to count on those touchdowns. You never really want to chase a touchdown either. He's getting the usage in the pass game with the targets, receptions and yardage, but touchdowns haven't been coming his way. They happen to come here in a little bit of a cluster. Banking on another touchdown happening is not something I really want to do, so I'm not going to do that. You combine that with Baltimore Ravens, I'm kind of okay. Let's go wrap it up here with the defenses. I'm going to pick the Jets at Miami. I mean, the Jets are the 5th ranked fantasy defense on the season. They played Miami recently. They had a pretty okay game when they played at home in New Jersey just a few weeks ago. I think it's mostly because they had a defensive score. And you may be saying, well, I really want to start the Jets because, you know, Tyreek is banged up. He missed practice. He may not play. But I think they have enough firepower, like I said, on the Miami team. Just put up enough points. They're scoring 31 points per game. The line right now suggests that Tyreek isn't going to play. It's had like a 4-point shift. So they're basically saying that Tyreek isn't going to play. So I don't blame them there. But the Dolphins are playing at home. Like I said, they still got Raheem Mostert. Still got Von Achan, Waddle. They got a ton of weapons. I think they can still get it done against the Jets, who, like I said, fifth-ranked fantasy defense, so they kind of got you here, but I'm not trying to play them against Miami if I don't have to.
Yeah, I mean, Miami's been the big explosive offense all year, so almost no matter who your defense is, you want to avoid Miami. It's never a bad idea, which, you know, maybe that sounds weird after we kind of talked about, well, you know, Tua might not have a good game and Waddle might not have a good game. But it's good games for them, if that makes sense, which is still a very good game. So, yeah, I mean, the Dolphins find a way to score points.
Yeah.
And I am going to go with another very popular defense, but Dallas. Dallas has Buffalo this week, the big over. I'm thinking a motivated and angry Josh Allen, which maybe not quite as scary on the tier of scariness, but still a motivated and angry Josh Allen fighting for his playoff life is looking more like Josh Allen that we're used to. And, you know, I mean, Vegas thinks it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be a shootout. It's not a good week for the Dallas Cowboys defense.
Yeah, no, totally. I had them as my sit of the week last week. Ended up with about 14 points. You would definitely be happy with that. It's nothing to blow the doors off, but more than I expected. I mean, they played the Eagles, they played the Bills, and then Dolphins, Lions. Cowboys defense were basically somebody I was like, we should be sitting them for the rest of the season. I'm not dropping them to waivers because I'm, you know, if like a Tyreek injury happens, they play Miami next week. Like, I'd certainly be more inclined to play the Cowboys defense against Miami in that situation just because I think that you could have opportunities to have some turnovers there. But yeah, as of right now, all those quarterbacks are standing up. Most of their playmakers are standing up. So not playing the Cowboys defense, not playing them here against Buffalo. Josh Allen, like I said, just he could do anything on any given week. He's a top five quarterback in the league, so don't want to go up against the Cowboys in that situation. All right, Jonah, anything else here you want to send the people off with? Where can they find us? Where can they find the website, Patreon, all that good stuff?
Yep, definitely. But real quick, I've seen the Cincinnati Bengals are a trendy pick for a streaming defense. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Minnesota's back.
Yeah, with Nick Mullins?
Yep, we're back.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm on board with that. I'll take him as like a low-costing DFS start throw.
Yeah. But yeah, you can find us on Twitter at DraftDive and at _ Colt Williams. You can find us online at www.draftdive.com. You can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/draftdive. And gosh, am I missing anything, Colt?
I think that's it. I think, you know, what we're not going to miss is the playoffs in week 16. We're going to keep moving forward. We're going to have another podcast, some extra waiver wire. You know, just because we're at the end of the season, you know, doesn't mean you can't play defense. There's still going to be people. Some nasty players you're not gonna be familiar with their names that you want to get up and pick up and play. I mentioned Chris Rodriguez today, so you know it could get down and dirty if the stars align. So make sure you stay tuned. Monday episode, we're gonna have the waiver wire episode. So we'll see you then.
Yep. Thank you.